everyone. It's good to see you all here this evening. Let's just pray before we get into God's Word this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we could meet together tonight in your name. Thank you that we can do it freely, that we can open your Word, that we have your Word to read and learn from. And Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight to hear your words, that you would speak to our hearts, that in some way you would touch our hearts and help us to be aware of where we need to change things in our life. And Lord, just pray that your Holy Spirit would have free course in our lives tonight, and that all glory might go to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank Mr. Phillips for his message this morning in reminding us about God's holiness and his greatness and his call on our lives. And I hope tonight's message will complement his message. And it's on a similar topic, talking about our vision. And Mr. Phillips reminded us that it's the end of the year, once again. It's the end of 2019. And it seems like that last year just sped past. He said the younger ones are saying that now, and so I suppose I'm one of the younger ones. The year just sped past. I wonder how your 2019 was. I wonder how it was. Did it just fly past for you? I think I just missed the whole year. I don't even know where it went. It went past so quick. Sometimes we get so busy with things, whether they be good things or other things, futile things sometimes. But sometimes we lose sight of the important things in life as we go about busy place to place. Now we have 2020 coming upon us. 2020. Mr. Phillips said 2020 this morning. That's probably the right way to say it, but I've heard a lot of people saying 2020. And when I think of 2020, maybe you think the same. You think of vision, 2020 vision. And you probably all, nearly all of you, have probably had an eye exam before, an optometrist or at Vic Roads or somewhere where you stand in front of that chart and they see whether you have 2020 vision or not. That chart, it's called the Snellen chart. It was made by a man called Dr. Herman Snellen, and he was a Dutch eye doctor. He was born in 1834, so it's been around a long time. And those letters on that chart, they go down by 25% in size each row. So the point of it, to see if you've got 20/20 vision, is you've got to stand 20 feet away from that chart. And if you have 20/20 vision, you're the same as the normal person would be from 20 foot away. So I think probably this year, this coming year, in 2020, we'll probably have a lot of talk about vision, and there'll be a lot of marketing around 20/20 and get your eyes checked in 20/20 and all that. But maybe it can help us to think about our vision, and not just our physical sight, but our spiritual sight. That's all about our physical eyes, but we also use the words vision and sight and focus to talk about the direction and the clarity of our minds, not just the clarity of our physical sight. So I wonder where your vision has been this past year. What's been your focus? Have you had one single focus this last year? Or if you've been floundering around in the dark. Sometimes our way can get a bit cloudy. We don't quite know where we are or what we're doing. We're just going along, going about the motions. And sometimes we need to stop and refocus on where we are in life and where our focus needs to be. And that's common for the end of the year. People try and make New Year's resolutions and they say they're going to turn over a new leaf. But it is good for us to think about the year that's past and think about what's coming in the new year and how we should refocus. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We want to see tonight where our vision should be, what our clear vision should look like. I used to have better than 20/20 vision, but the last time I went to the optometrist, it had gone downhill, so now I've got a small prescription, so you're a bit fuzzy up the back there. I probably should be wearing glasses. But anyway, Matthew chapter 6, and let's read from verse 19, and we'll read to verse 23. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." So I'd like to just consider those last two verses there. The light of the body is the eye. So first of all, the light of the body is the eye, the light. This first light in this verse, where it says the light of the body, that's referring to like a lamp or a torch that guides your way. So it's saying what guides your body, the light that guides your body, just like a lamp or a torch will guide your way along in the dark. The lamp of our body is our eyesight, our vision that leads us where we want to go. So you will be led by what you focus on, where your focus is. Guidance and direction will come from your focus. What you really want, that's what you'll follow after. That's where you'll go. The light of the body is the eye. Next part there says, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." A single eye here is talking about having a healthy eye. No disease in that eye. Clear vision, focus, 20/20 vision. The idea of a single eye has the connotation of looking in one direction, one focus. There's no double vision. There's just one target, having one direction of focus. Someone with a single eye is sincere in what they do. There are no hidden motives. They just simply have one motive and focus. The same Greek word here, translated single, a single eye in this verse, is also translated simplicity. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simple gospel in Christ, the simple way in Christ. And it's also translated singleness in Ephesians 6, 5 and 6. It says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." One motive, one master, following your master in single file, in singleness of your heart. So we see that a single eye or sincerity in our focus leads to light. And it says there a whole body full of light. "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." So our focus, our direction is sincere, going one direction, one focus, can be full of light. Our lives don't need to feel like we're stumbling around in the dark. Sometimes they do, but if we have the right focus, they don't need to feel like that. We can have light. Light can mean having joy. We know that we can have light as joy or direction in our life. It's a happy place if we're walking in the light. But then it goes on to say in the next verse, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? But if thine eye be evil, this is talking about an unhealthy eye. On the contrast to the healthy eye, we have an unhealthy eye. This will lead to darkness. Darkness of direction and darkness of mind. We're not focused on the right thing. We're not focused in the right direction. Single-mindedness, we've got our mind everywhere. I think all of us at some time have felt like everything was just caving in around us. Our hopes and dreams, what we are working towards or seeking after, it just comes crashing down around us. Our minds can start to darken when we see and experience. Really, it's the results of sin around us. And things crumble in our grasp. And maybe it's that our focus is wrong. Maybe we have an evil or unhealthy eye. Maybe that's why we experience this darkness in our lives. We might think we have the right focus, but probably most of the time we don't. We're not looking in the right direction. Often our vision is all about our own happiness, right here, right now, what we need, maybe in our near future, but we are missing the real vision that God wants for us. The next part of verse 23 says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If we think we've got light, if we think we're going after the right things in our life, but it's just the here and now, then we're blinded from knowing the truth, and we're in great darkness. How great is that darkness? Our earthly focus can sometimes can become very dangerous to us and those around us if we begin to think that our immediate life is all we are living for. We continue on in Matthew 6, verse 25. It reminds us not to be too worried about the here and now and what's right here and now. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So we're reminded there to not worry about the here and now, not worry about tomorrow and the next day. God will provide. That's not where we should have our focus. That's not where our main vision should be. Our vision is stunted if this is all we see. We just see what's below our feet, what's here and now. We certainly don't have clear 20/20 vision of our mind in this case. If we think what we have now constitutes our light, that's our joy and our direction in life, but it's really darkness, how great is that darkness? If we've missed the point, if we just are living for the here and now, we really won't find lasting joy or direction in our life if we have such a misguided focus. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So the lamp or the torch to guide our life, that light of the body, is our vision. And if we have a single, sincere focus in our life will be full of light. But if we have an unhealthy focus on the things around us down here, then our life will be one of stumbling around in the dark. But what should that single eye be focused on? What should our single focus be on? Well, if we turn to 2 Corinthians, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we're looking at the things which, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Okay, so how do we look at things which are not seen? I mean, really, it's one thing to have bad eyes, but if the things you want to see aren't seen, how can you even hope to see them? I had to read that because that's just hard to understand. If the things you want to see aren't seen, how can you see them? This is where our single-eyed focus needs to become a vision of faith. It needs to become faith. Hebrews 11 is the chapter of faith. We know it as that. Hebrews 11. And it says there in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance. It's what is tangible for us of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our vision needs to become one of faith in God. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Our belief in God, the Creator, that is bigger than anything tangible we can see, helps us understand how he was able to make it all out of nothing. We need to have our mind believing that God is so big that he can do anything above that we can think about. This is through eyes of faith on our part. We need to have that faith, and then we can believe that he can make this whole world out of nothing. In verse 6 it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith it is impossible to please God. This must be our vision, a vision of faith in God and what he can do. So if we want light in our life, we must have that single-eyed focus. And that involves a vision of faith on our part, looking at the things which are not seen. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, where we were before, said that those things that are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Our focus, our vision through faith needs to be on eternal things. Not on things on this earth. Not on the everyday, but on things that will last forever. One day this world will be burnt up. And what's the point of focusing on anything that's going to be burnt up? We need to be focused on what's ahead. What's eternal. So now I want to look at some things that are eternal that we can focus on. What are some things that are not seen, yet we know are there and they're eternal? Well, we know Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We know he's eternal. We know he came to earth and people saw him, but to us now, we physically don't see him because he's in heaven. But we know he's eternal. So that's something, someone we need to focus on. In John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So he promises there light for our life if we follow him. He's one of the eternal things. We know by faith that Jesus is God and he is alive in heaven. He is not seen, but he is eternal. If we turn to Revelation chapter 22. If you would, Revelation chapter 22. We see that Jesus is eternal. He's talking here and he says, "And behold," in verse 12, 22 verse 12, he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." So we see here that Jesus is eternal. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was there in eternity past and he will be still there in eternity future in heaven. We know also that Jesus is the very Word of God. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So we see that Jesus is the very Word of God. So we know that the Word of God is eternal as well, because Jesus is eternal. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Word of God is eternally settled in heaven. The revealed Word of God we have in our Bibles, that we have in our Bibles, along with Jesus himself, should be part of our single-eyed focus. Another thing that is not seen but is eternal is our souls. We should be looking out for the souls of men. They are eternal. They will go on forever. That's something that's here now, right in front of us. We don't see it, but our soul, the souls of every human being, is eternal. We're talking about eternity here. After this world is burnt up, what will be left? There'll be God, there'll be Jesus, the Word of God, the souls of men and women, the angels. Our focus needs to be on souls, the eternal souls. If we go to Revelation chapter 20, it gives us a glimpse into what will be when the world is done with. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So we see there everyone, the dead, small and great, standing before God. And everyone that was dead, the bodies of the dead in the sea, they came as well. Everyone was there and they were judged according to their works, according to what they had done. And if you're here tonight and you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, he's the Son of God, eternity must be your focus. That's got to be your main focus. You've got to realize that that's the next thing. 1 John 5:10 to 12 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." God has said that he's given us his Son as that punishment taker for us on the cross. And if we don't believe that, we're making God a liar. We're saying to God, "You're a liar. I don't believe you." And that's very serious when you're telling God he's a liar. And that's what the lake of fire is for. It's for those that reject God's free gift of salvation. It's the things that are not seen that are eternal. When we die, our eternal soul will either go to our eternal God, who offers us eternal life with him in heaven. Or if we reject his offer, our eternal soul will go to an eternal state of dying and torment in hell. And if you are not saved, I beg you, please accept the free gift of salvation found in Jesus Christ. It's your only way out. And if you have trusted Jesus as your Saviour, is your focus on the souls of men and women around you each day and how you can point them to the Saviour? I know I have a lot to work on in this front, in reaching out to those I know and meet with the gospel. But we should be remembering where they're going and the good news we have to share with them. Our single-eyed vision of faith should be first of all set on Jesus. It should be on the eternal word of God. It should be on souls that are eternal as well. But it should also be on heaven. Heaven is eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Please would you turn there. Second Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," that's our earthly body, if we die, "we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And if we go down to verse 6, it says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." We have heaven to look forward to, the eternal heaven. This should be part of our single focus. If we go back to Matthew 6, where we started, please, Matthew 6, and it says there in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we're reminded here not to lay up treasures down here, not to make money and wealth and just for the sake of it down here, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And if we do, that's where our focus will be. Whatever we put our most time and our time and effort into, that's where our focus will be. Why should our vision be clouded by the things of this world when heaven with God is that end goal, our end goal? Why do we get caught up with pursuing things here on earth that have no heavenly value? Things that are just going to be burnt up one day. We obviously don't have that right focus. Sometimes, maybe we don't quite grasp the fact that we're eternal beings and that there's more than just this life. That this is just for a moment, that this is just a vapor. In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, sorry, it's a common verse, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's where our vision should be. Seeking first those things that pertain to the kingdom of God, those eternal things, everything else that we worry about, that'll fall into place. It's like that tightrope walker who fixes his eyes on the other side, something steady on the other side of that rope, and he just keeps going, keeps looking ahead until he gets there to the other side. In Hebrews 11, we have that record that we looked at briefly before of many people that had the right vision of faith in the unseen God. And let's just turn back there briefly. Hebrews chapter 11, please. There's a whole heap of people here listed that had this vision of faith. They had eyes of faith, we would say, in God, no matter what happened to them. But let's go to verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24, where it talks about Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." We know the story of, most of us would know the story of Moses, who was brought up with the Egyptians and with the in the Pharaoh's own palace. And when he got older, he decided to forsake all that. He could have had all the riches and the pleasures of living as a prince in the palace, but he realized that was just a fleeting joy. And he chose a nobler, higher cause, helping to save the souls of his fellow countrymen out of that place of bondage in Egypt. So he's a good example for us when we think about where our eyes are focused, what we're looking for. Wonder what you're looking at tonight. What are you looking towards? Where is your focus? Are you just looking at pursuing the joys of this world? Going after whatever you can get? Or thinking about your near future, but not your eternal future? Or are your eyes scared and worried about the things around you, the things you're seeing and experiencing around you or to you in this sin-cursed world? Is your life feeling dark because of the weight of the world around you? Well, tonight I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes to things that are eternal. I need this encouragement too, to set my affection on things above. We are promised in that first verse we read in Matthew 6:22 that having that single-eyed focus on the right things in our life will give us light in our life. It will give us joy. It will give us direction in our life. We won't have to worry about these other things if we had the right focus on heavenly things, on eternal things. So may God help us to increase our faith, look to Jesus, who's the eternal Word of God, and keep our focus on souls and heaven to come. As our faith and growth in Christ increases, so does our light. Until one day in heaven we'll be there with our Saviour face to face, that light of the world who's Jesus. Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is there to give us light. Lord, it is the eternal word of God. Thank you for all those things that are eternal. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to die for us on the cross and then rose again and is seated on the right hand of God in heaven, eternally there, interceding for us at the throne. Lord, we know that our souls are eternal and that we will either go to heaven to be with you, or if we reject you, we'll go to hell. Lord, I pray for any here tonight that haven't tasted of your salvation, that haven't received your free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work on their hearts. Lord, convict them of their sin and their need of you. Lord, I pray that they'd be able to reach out and take hold of that gift, that they'd be able to turn from their own way and turn to follow you tonight. Lord, I pray that they'd be rejoicing in heaven tonight over sinners that are saved. Lord, I pray for the rest of us that you would help us to be focused on the right things in our life as we go into the new year, that we would seek to do what we can to reach souls with your word, to be obedient to your word and to your Holy Spirit as he guides us. Lord, I pray that you be with us as we go our separate ways tonight as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.